So we're going to be in Psalm 46 today, and we are going to be, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about prayer and fasting. And some of you may be looking at us kind of funny because we've had a table up here for the last couple of weeks, and you know, we've been talking about the importance of having meals together, and then how dare we begin talking about fasting. And so, sorry for the whiplash, but it actually goes together, all right? It's really fine, all right? But as the group of us who have been studying together began talking about and trying to see what it is that God says to us in regards to prayer and fasting, one of the things that really struck all of us was that we all have many hindrances, many misunderstandings or misconceptions surrounding prayer and fasting that keep us from praying and fasting, or hinder us in our pursuit of prayer and fasting. We get so caught up a lot of times on the how to pray that we actually don't pray, right? And so what we're going to do over the next couple of weeks is we're actually going to just kind of speak to some of those misunderstandings, some of those misconceptions, so that we can just kind of lay the groundwork about what is prayer and why do we even do it? Because we are not after trying to just pursue this thing that you do just so that you do the thing and make yourself feel good about yourself. We're not about to lay before you an avenue for you to persuade God to execute your will on earth. We're not about to lay out before you this thing to make you feel like you're earning God's favor. We're not going to tell you how to pray, because the core of it, and all that we're going to talk about today, is that the purpose of prayer is relationship. The purpose of prayer is relationship. And so the way, the how to pray, is going to look different for all of us. And that's okay. But also for some of you, you're ticked off at me right now because you just want me to tell you do this and this and you'll be good. And I'm going to tell you, we're not going to tell you how to do it. We may tell you, hey, these are some different ways. We're going to see what Scripture has to present to us. But the beautiful thing about it is that it is about relationship with the Father. And so what that does is that dismantles a whole lot of these misunderstandings and misconceptions that we have about it. Because you don't have to have the title of pastor or whatever to pray. This is an invitation to all of God's children. You don't have to have the right words to say to get God to hear you. He wants to hear your heart. Just because your prayers go unanswered doesn't mean you're doing it wrong or that God doesn't love you. It's about relationship. God is more concerned with your heart than with providing you with things. And so that's just maybe blew a lot of our concepts, and that's totally good. That's fine. But I want us to be able to press in today. All that we're going to focus in on is that prayer, the purpose of prayer is relationship. And why this is important is that, man, the songs that we are singing today, while they are songs that our kids take time to be able to worship, they were beautiful to be able to pump our hearts and prime our hearts for what we're talking about today, because they really exalted God. Simple, but they really lifted up God to his proper place. And that's the power of music. That's the power of prayer. That is what we're invited into, is that we need to see God rightly. And when we do, everything else changes. What happens is when we go through our experience in life, what's not going well for you, the thing that you're praying for, the family member that you're begging would just come to Christ, that area of sin that you just want to release and surrender, but it just continually feels like it just keeps pulling you back. That disease that is wrecking your body or your loved one's body. Those things that we pray for, that we beg for God to do. They consume our mind and our lives. And what begins to happen is our life begins to get so small. We begin to be focused on those problems. We begin to be focused on what's not going well. We begin to focus on the fact that God's not appearing to listen to you. You begin to get angry and to feel all the things. And so the beauty of prayer, it doesn't belittle that. It invites us to be able to take that frustration, that pain, and take it to God in relationship. But then it also helps us to be able to see that that it's so much bigger than what we are experiencing right now. Man, our God is moving in our brothers and our sisters' lives. So while I didn't have healing, man, they did. And I get to celebrate that you still are the healing God. I'm struggling. I might be struggling financially, but I saw a breakthrough for them, and I'm believing that it can come for them, and I know that it can come for me. We begin to get outside of ourselves, and it begins to get our gaze to where it truly should be, onto God himself. That while you might be frustrated at the fact that your family members just don't seem like they're going to come to Christ, man, the gospel is spreading like wildfire everywhere else in the earth. So what does that do for us as we're praying for our friends, our neighbors, our family members? That gives us hope that God still saves. But if you just sit there and focus on how it's not happening, we get stuck and we begin to feel small and insignificant. And what we want to do today is for all of us to be able to see that what God is inviting us to is relationship with him. And the danger is that we've come all too comfortable with getting things from God and being content with that. Where we don't actually want God himself, we just want his stuff. Okay. So, what my heart for us, what Pastor Tim's heart, what the rest of our leader's heart here, man, I want, we pray for God's blessings and provisions for us as a family. But what we want more is we want every single one of you to be able to come into deeper relationship with God himself. I don't want you to be content with just receiving things from God. I want you to get to the throne room of grace, which you have access through the blood of Jesus. And I want you to be able to experience God for yourself. And if we could be a people who do that, what begins to happen, what the Bible promises happens as we draw close to the person of God, what begins to happen is we become like him. And then therefore the things that bother us here in the earthly, as we are connected to our heavenly Father, we then have the power and authority to then bring their power and authority into our prayer life. It happens because of what? Relationship. Not because you have some formula where you say A, B, and C, and then God has to answer. It's not because it's not based off of your perfect merit. It's not based off of how much Bible you know. It's about your relationship with the living God. So that's what we want for you. That's what we're pursuing together. And so as we, as a church, we are going to call you to step up and pray in ways that you haven't prayed before. But we're not going to do that to become religious. Why? What do we want? We want every single one of us to experience God personally. And so we're going to do things together. We're going to call for a church-wide fast. And so we're going to ask for you to seek God. And we're going to do it together. Again, not because we're trying to get you to earn crowns in heaven. No, we want to deny the flesh. We want to deny all the stuff that distracts us and disorients us so that we could be in connection with the living God. And God gave us the gift of prayer and fasting to do it. So we're pursuing that because we want to see the kingdom of God now. We want to see it come. And so that's where we're going. So today, it's really simple. We're going to read through Psalm 46. It'll be on the screens behind me. And what I want us to do together, I want you to notice two things while we're reading it. I want you to notice the chaos. So notice the craziness, the chaos that's going on. But then I want you to also, at the same time, notice where is God? Where? All right, so chaos, and then where is God? Psalm 46, starting in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. Where? In trouble. It's good. I love when people talk back to me. That's good. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is where? In the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is where? With us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes the wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and he shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is where? With us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So did you see the chaos? There's a lot of chaos, right? Did you see the presence of God? Where was he? Where is he? He's with us. Yeah, I hear you. I love it. I'm pulling them out. I'm embarrassing them. No, you keep going, though. You keep going. No, please. No, don't keep quiet. Keep going. See, you keep going, Chelsea. Tanner, I'm looking at you. Right? God is with us in the midst of it all, right? So what is this teaching us to do with prayer? Man, prayer is about relationship. That God is with you even when things are literally going crazy. So when you feel like it is chaos all around you, right? And we can even feel tremors of some of these things even happening in our day, right? Not making us be crazy, but we feel this, right? But who's in control? God. And where is God? Where is he? Oh yeah, he's with us. There you go. There you go, girl. Right? He's with us. So the purpose of prayer is relationship, connecting to God, even in the middle of all of the chaos. But how do we do it? And so this gives us a little bit of a blueprint for how we can pursue that relationship with God, even in the midst of chaos. So the first thing in verse 10, the first thing is the hardest thing, where he says, be still. Be still. And so this may be one of those verses that even kind of brings up within you like old church religion and all kind of stuff. And if it does, just bear with me. But this is not peace time. This is not, oh, it's just easy for me to just sit on the lawn and just, you know, be there present with God. I pray that I'm able to get there one day. I pray that no matter what is going on in my life, that I have the ability to be able to just sit and just be able to be with God, knowing that I can trust him. But it's work for this broken joker up here. It's work for me to be able to be still. This is not easy for me. But this is the most important work for us. Why? Because we are tempted so much to be able to believe that my life is dependent on how hard I work. If something's not going well, it's because I'm not doing something right. So I need to push in. I need to push. I need to push. Right? And so we've fallen in to this believing that we are actually God. And newsflash, we're not. But the problem is that we live our lives believing that we are. And then when we run into a situation, then we call out for help. Like, yo, God, I need some help right here. So come on. Okay? I'm telling on myself. If it doesn't fit you, that's fine. But this is a glimpse into my life. That's how I live, okay? And I'm trying to get closer in to be able to, what be still is this invitation to acknowledge my limitation. Listen, when I'm still, God tells me that I am not God, and I was never intended to be. So what happens when we're still and we stop in the midst of all the things that we can focus in on? When we actually carve out time to be able to be with God, we're saying no to all the things that we literally need to do. We're saying no to all the fun things that distract us. And we're saying, God, I need you more than I need these things. And as we work to be able to get to that spot and we're still with God, he meets us. He meets us. But this is where some of the prayers that, you know, we have to work through all this stuff. Man, me being still, I have to work through my frustrations before I can be still. I have to turn to God my frustrations, my disappointments, the ways that I've fallen, all these things. It's all this. Here we go. And as I surrender those things, I'm able to sit and be still with God. And it leads to the second thing. What does it say? Be still. And as we're still with the Lord, know that he is God. So we have to work our tail off to be able to be still with God. And then when we're still, we still got to do work here. But we're remembering who our God is. We remember who it is that we're sitting still before. We do the work of being able to, in my frustrations, be able to remember that God is bigger than my frustrations. We begin to remind ourselves who it is that we're praying to. And this is why, man, use your Bible in your time of prayer. Because I don't have this thing memorized. So I forget who it is that I'm talking to. But man, the book of Psalms is a beautiful illustration of this, where they take their junk and they say, God, man, this is where I am. I'm angry at you. How long are you going to delay? Do you hear me? But then what do? Almost every single psalm is then a redirect of their soul to remember who their God is. Remember who it is we're talking to. So man, remember that God is the creator. So you're in lack, remember that our God is the provider. You've fallen short again, remember that our Lord is merciful. Remember that He created everything we see out of nothing. So when you don't see a way, guess what our God is really good at doing? He's good at making a way. Right? So we do this work of, this is preaching to yourself. You're remembering, hey, I'm not there yet, God, but I want to remember you even though my life experience is lying to me right now. Remind me of truth. Help me remember who you are. And as we remember who God is, what begins to happen is we remember who we are. We remember who we are. So we remember that we're not defined by our failures, but we're defined by His grace. We're not defined by the things that this world defines us. So suddenly now I'm defined by the fact that I am in relationship with the God that made all this. Suddenly the grip of all the things that distract us, that keep us from God, loosen their grip, because the most important thing about us becomes our relationship with God. And the thing that breaks our heart as leadership is that we're not there yet. Where we believe that the most important thing about every single one of us is our relationship with God. That is the most important thing. And we want to be a people that value that. I want to be a husband, a father, a pastor, a friend, that is the defining thing about me. That doesn't happen unless we are still, unless we remember the fact that we're talking to God Himself and that He is the one that actually gives me my identity. You guys are kind of looking at me funny, so let's talk about this biblically. So what happened with little David before he was king? He was a shepherd, right? Okay, he was a shepherd, right? He did some really cool things. I mean, killed a bear and a lion. He's more of a man at 12 than I am now, so I can just own that. Embrace my limitations. Here we go, right? But he's just a shepherd. He's the youngest born, right? But he had a relationship with God. And so Goliath is out there just terrorizing the whole nation, making fun of him. And what does David say? Yo, who's this joker talking about my God like that? 12-year-old kid. He said, none of you adults are going to go fight him? Then I'm going to go. This dude doesn't talk about my God like that. So then he rolls out there and he takes out Goliath. Where does that power and authority come from? It's not because David was listening to the right man podcast while he's out there watching the sheep. He's there with God, and he's so in love with God that God makes his identity. And so he's like, yo, you don't talk about my God like that. And so he's operating in this authority as God's son on this earth, operating God's will on this earth. Man, that's the same for you and I. We read these examples in scripture as if they are this like exalted group of people. They got the same blood that we do. They just had moments where they really, really trusted in God. And so, man, let's get after that. I want to experience that. I want to be so close to God that I operate based off of what he says I am, not what anybody else or even myself. That's the invitation of prayer, is that as we are still, we can begin to remember who God is. And as we remember who God is, we begin to remember who I am. And as I remember who I am, I get to see the part that God wants me to play in his kingdom. And so notice, I didn't say that you have to pray this way to be able to get that. Well, how do you get that? Man, it is time. Prayer, the purpose of prayer is relationship with God. So man, I have been fighting since teen years of this one area of sin. And I so want to just release it. I try so much in my own effort. I don't want to do it. I understand that as I draw close to God, it breaks his heart. So that becomes paramount to my life because I care about what he cares about. And I don't want to live that is not something true of my actual identity. Nothing in my own effort worked. But I felt healing when I began to ask God, God, why do I even do that? Heal the root of that in me. And God met me. And he began to show me why I do that. And God, as I'm still, begins to tell me, yo, I love you, son. I love you. It's not based off of how well you're doing. Man, you are my son. I love you. And so when I'm there in the presence of God and I'm remembering who he is, he helps me to remember who I am. I didn't say words. I sat there in frustration. And God reveals to me. Man, that's the invitation. It's not about how do we pray the right thing. It's like, man, where are you? Are you with God? That's the beginning of prayer. The purpose of prayer is relationship with him. Let's go to John 15 as I prepare to close. John 15. Because I think the way I'm looking, you guys are looking at me funny. So I think we need some more Bible up in here. So John 15. He's teaching about our relationship, the importance of our relationship with God, but he's also teaching us about prayer, right? So you want to grow in your prayer life, man, grow in your relationship with God. John 15, starting in verse 4, says this, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Right? So what is that saying? One word to summarize that so far. Relationship. Relationship. Keep going. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, listen, Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this the Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So abide in my love. What is that saying? God loves to answer your prayers. God loves for his children to be able to look like his children. How do we do it? Is it by trying harder? No, it's by getting with God, drawing close to him, abiding, remaining, learning how to be able to stay close to God in the midst of a world that is pulling you so far away from him. It's a day by day, moment by moment commitment to say, God, I don't even know if I want to be here right now because sin is really tempting. But I'm trying, so meet me. You think he won't show up with that kind of honesty? He's going to meet us as we press into him. As we show up, what begins to happen is we begin to look like him. And what does it say happens with our prayer life? As we draw close to him, we become like him. His authority and power flows through us. And what does it say about what we ask? What does it say? Look at it. It's in your Bible. I didn't make it up. Look at it. I need you to believe it for yourself. Look at it. What does it say? Ask and what? Yeah, and it'll happen. You can even summarize that joker if you want. That's fine. Right? So what? Is this about saying the right things? No, it's about being close with the Father. Prayer, the purpose of prayer is relationship with the Father. And so I'm so glad that you're here with us. If you're a guest with us, man, I'm glad that you're here. And we just want you to be able to hear our heart. Now, like I said before, man, I don't want you to be the most eloquent prayer. If you are, then praise God. I just want you to know him. We just want you to grow in a deepening relationship with the Father. Because as you draw close to him, then kingdom things begin to happen. And that's what we're after. We want to see the kingdom of God come here and now. And it doesn't happen by doing more. It happens more by actually doing less so we can be with God. And so as I close, I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up. But as I close, I'm just going to read Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14 over us. And this is our cry for every single one of us. This is Paul's prayer to the church. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family on heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to him. Who do we pray to? We pray to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we could ask or think. According to the power that is at work, where? Within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's our desire, is that you would know the love of God. So if you're here today and you don't know that love, you're not sure if you have that relationship with Jesus, then I would ask you to be able to admit, just come forward, tap the person that's sitting next to you and be like, yo, I don't know that I know that love. We'd love to talk with you. Your relationship with God is the most important thing about you. Just waiting for you to realize it. So you're in an amazing place. You're in a place right here where people want that same thing for you, and we're trying to do it together. So don't allow the enemy to win. The Father loves you. So let's draw close to Him. Let me pray. So Father, I pray that we would be defined by Your love. That You would heal us from the religiosity of knowing things about You, but not experiencing it in our inner man. I pray that John 15 and just the call to be able to be with You would mess us up in such a way this week that we cannot help but be in Your presence. I pray that You would awaken our hearts to Your love for us. And for those of us here that have not yet begun that relationship with You, I pray that You would awaken their hearts to life. So we love You, Lord. And we close our time now celebrating the fact that You are the risen and victorious King of the universe. And so continue to do what You see fit in each of our hearts and in our lives. And it's in Your name that we pray. Amen.